5 through 11. Philippians 2, 5 through 11. We had a game on Friday night, and Jonathan's not in here, so I can't pick on him too much. But you had to guess what a person's favorite food or object or thing was. And Jonathan's team guessed barbecue. And Jonathan wrote chicken. And his team said, that's the same thing. The king said, no, it's not. Then we got to Jewel. Her team said chicken. Jewel said chicken wings. The king said, now that's the same thing. So we sat there. We learned a lot about people on Friday night. Like somebody's favorite movie is Menace to Society. It's like that was from a minute ago. I ain't gonna say who it was because he ain't in here, but his initials are JP. All right, Philippians 2. He don't mind. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 through 11. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 through 11. We are in a series talking about excellence, and I keep trying to ask myself, how long are we going to be on in this series? This is only our third week. We have Pastor Carol coming next week, so we're going to definitely take a break next week, but we're going to come back to it again. I think we may be in this for a little while because I really believe God is stirring something up in our hearts. So I want to encourage you, if you haven't already listened to the first two messages, to go back to our podcast. They're free on our website, and you can listen to them and download them from there. But I do want to encourage you to check those out. So Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 through 11. Once you have that, do me a favor. Stick your finger in your Bible. Hold your Bible or your electronic devices high in the air. I finally found a charger. Because y'all don't know this, but every Sunday I preach, my iPad is on like 5%. And every Sunday I see a miracle from God. Because every Sunday I get through my whole message with only 5% of battery life. And I said, look at the Holy Ghost providing energy and power from my iPad. Y'all don't know what I'm talking about. All right, lift your Bibles or your electronic devices high in the air. Let's say this together. This is my Bible. It is God speaking to me. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. So I open my heart today to hear God speak a word that will change my life forever. All right, Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 through 11. We're going to be reading quite a bit this morning. It's like seven verses. That's like a good whole week of Bible reading for some of us. No, it's not, because we read our Bibles how often? Amen. Amen. Want to make sure we're still on that. Also, yeah, we also pray every day. Did y'all know that? Not just individually, but we have been praying together. We are on day, tomorrow will be day 13 of our 21-day prayer calls. And so if you jump on our Facebook group, which anybody in here can go ahead and add themselves into the group, you will see the prayer call dates coming up and times. Tomorrow morning, Jewel, is it you again? Tomorrow, Jewel will be praying at 8 o'clock. It'll also give you the phone calls that you can do. And remember, the prayer calls are at various times, so feel free to pop on in and catch that. All right? You ready? All right, Philippians 2, 5 through 11. Enough chitter-chat. Here we go. Let's read together. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. If you have a different version, no worries. The words will appear on your screen. Ready? Here we go. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Father, we thank you so much for this passage. We pray, Heavenly Father, this morning that you will speak a word, that you will transform our mind, that, Lord, you will help us to be the people you've called us to be and to live our best and highest this year. We thank you, Father God, for this message, Holy Spirit. Move me aside and have your way in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Amen. Well, we're talking about the spirit of excellence, and today the title of my message is The Mindset of Excellence. The Mindset of excellence. What I have found is that you can change a whole lot about yourself if you change your mind. If your mind thinks you cannot do something, you won't do it. If your mind thinks you can do something, you will begin to do it. Your mind is so important and so powerful, and it's displayed. I found it to be interesting that I see it best in sports. Now, I'd give a lot of sports analogies, so if you're not a sports person, God bless you. Sorry, you're going to hear it today. Look, my sons play baseball, and we were working on how to improve their hitting and how to improve their pitching. And I came across this book by this pitcher named Bob Tewksbury. Anybody ever heard of Bob Tewksbury? Y'all are not baseball fans. Okay, I don't have no basketball illustrations. We'll go with the baseball one. All right, so Bob Tewksbury was actually a pitcher. He pitched for the Cardinals. He ends up now, he's the mental edge coach for the San Francisco Giants, which means he works with pitchers on helping them in their mind to get ready to pitch. Bob Tewksbury pitched in the World Series, pitched winning games in the World Series. So he was in games where there were some of the biggest games ever with thousands and thousands, sometimes millions of people watching him play. And he would go up to the mound and he would pitch as if nothing fazed him. And when they asked him, Bob, how are you able to do this? Bob said, because I practice something so simple. He says, every day before I play, I close my eyes and I visualize myself in that game. I visualize every pitch. I visualize every batter. I visualize myself striking people out. I visualize myself winning a game. He said, every component of the game I see before I actually do it. And it has made him one of the best pitchers that ever lived and teaching our San Francisco Giants pitchers. Why is that so important? If your mind can see it, your mind and your body will do it. The challenge for most of us is we don't see ourselves doing things. We don't see ourselves losing weight, so we don't. Don't look at me. No, Pastor, I want to lose weight, but do you see it? Have you imagined it? Have you seen yourself in it? We don't see ourselves living the lifestyle we want. We don't see ourselves living in the house we want. We don't see things with our mind. And today, what I want to talk to you about is there is a mindset of excellence that God wants to put into you about how you can live your best and highest in your life right now. There is a mindset God has for you that will shape how you choose to live. And if you can grab this mindset, everything about you, your whole body, your image, your everything, how you live, how you love, how you interact, how you handle your money, everything will begin to change if you can change your mindset. So I'm going to show you what that mindset is today. You ready? Verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Can we see that Father God is starting out, and the Bible, the writer of Philippians is starting out, Paul, and he's telling you, here's the type of mindset you need to have. If you can grab this mindset, the same mindset that was in Jesus, you're going to have a powerful example. You're going to understand what excellence really means. And what's interesting is as you look at this passage, people can quote verse 10 with no problem. That at the name of Jesus, come on, say it with me, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is. Most of us got that. We know that part, but we don't pay attention to the rest of the passage surrounding it. We're studying about this quest of excellence in our lives, this attainment of the highest and finest and best of Christ's work in us. It's the highest and best for what Jesus wants to do for your life. And I think everybody in here would really like to live God's best. How many of you say, I want to live God's best for my life? Raise your hand. All right, make sure we're talking to the right group. The excellent thing, if that's your point, if that's what you want, the excellent thing that he wants to do will bring a need for understanding that God isn't just wanting to do nice things for you. He's not just trying to give you good stuff. And we get that. God's best for our lives means two things. You ready for it? It means what he created for us happens. And it means that we find the highest fulfillment in that thing. That's God's highest and best. What God created for you happens, and you find fulfillment in it when it happens. That's God's greatest and best for you. That doesn't mean you get what you want. Sometimes they coincide. Oh, sometimes you get lucky. Most times you get lucky because God puts a desire in you and he wants to give you what he put inside of you. We all have that this sense of delight when we get to do what we're made for, and you begin to recognize it. But that always requires a reversal of some value system that's set in our mind. Time and time again, Jesus says, you have heard that it is said. In other words, he say, look, the world say this, but then he'll say, but I say unto you. And it's because the human mind, because of the fall, we got all shaken up and messed up and twisted. So what God values as right got twisted up when Adam and Eve messed it up. So now in the world, we got people thinking stuff is right that is not God's highest and best and value system for them. Okay, here's an illustration. We think it's best to test drive the car before we take it home. Because it makes sense. If I'm going to buy a car, you test drive it, right? But we equate that to dating. It does make sense to test drive a real car before you buy it. But it is not God's highest and best for you to test drive a person before you take them home. And the world has given us, well, how you gonna know if this? How you gonna know if that's gonna happen? You don't know what it's like. You might be subject to a life of just hard. You don't even like everything that's happening with that person. How do you know unless you get to spend some time with them in a special way before it happens? See, the world gives you advice. And because of the fall, we have made so much sense in our mind about it. And God is like, look, I got to change your mindset about stuff. Because the problem is our mind is based in what we see in the world. It is not based on God's value and God's word. God wants to learn this, that the highest excellence in our life requires us answering the call to servanthood. See, in our minds, excellence is about what I have and what I obtain and being better than. In God's mind, excellence is about serving. And we've been talking about that. That's the whole quest of this series. Now, the mindset of excellence has to do with God drawing out of our lives the finest understanding of what it really means to be a servant. But he has an objective in this. The objective isn't just to get you to go to work. I mean, just trying to get you to serve. The objective, I want you to really get this. The real objective for God wanting you to serve is so that you can know what he is really like. He wants you to know exactly how he is. Do you not know when you serve, you get to understand the mind of God in a way you've never understood it before? Here's the catch. God has no avenue in which he can communicate himself to people in the world except through Jesus Christ. Now, I want to show you this because this is important. This passage that we looked at has three sections. The first section has to do with Jesus. Philippians 2, 5 through 6 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. So Jesus took the form of a servant, and the Bible says he became flesh among us. And as he does that, he becomes Lord of our lives, and that's the pathway, that's the fruit of that is the pathway to service. So now watch this. The second portion of this talks about you and me. So he's talking about him serving first. Then verse 12 through 16 says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much also in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. We're going to come back and talk about that today. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Now listen, people, mindset. I'm going to come back to this too, but listen. Do all things without complaining. I ain't got an amen in the room. Do all things. If you're going to serve, if you're going to live in excellence, which is demonstrating the servanthood of Christ, you need to stop complaining. Do all things without complaining and arguing and acting a fool. Oh, that's not what it said. That's Shana Heard version. And disputing. Verse 15, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine as lights in the world. Look here. You want to know how you're going to shine out and be excellent? Stop complaining. That this doesn't compute in our minds. Some of y'all are like, but I have to say something. No, you don't. But look, how they going to know if I don't tell them? Maybe you can tell them, but you ain't got to complain about it when you tell them. Y'all don't know what I'm talking about, do you? Nobody even knows how to do that. The Bible says speak the truth in love. You don't say complain about it. You know what complaining looks like? This sucks. I'm so tired of doing this. It's an attitude. It's grumbling. He says if you want to demonstrate an excellent mindset, you got to stop complaining. I ain't got no cheers. Hallelujahs. Then this verse goes on and demonstrates what this looks like. So we started with Jesus. The verse moves on in Philippians chapter 2. For those of you who don't know, we're kind of walking through the book of Philippians in this series. But the first part talks about Jesus. The second part talks about us. And the third part gives us examples of three different people. It's really interesting. And I'm going to kind of summarize it for you. It's simply in verse 17 and 18, Paul starts talking about himself. He's talking about the potential of possibly going to the cross and dying at the hands of the Roman persecutors. He's in prison, and he said, if I be poured out, verse 17, he says, if I be poured out, Paul's demonstration of servanthood is I'm giving myself so much it looks like I'm just empty at the end of the day. And then a few verses later, he talks about this young guy, Timothy, a young man who has come to Christ under Paul's influence and now was one of the rising leaders in the church. And he says, talking to Timothy, he says, it's hard to find anyone who will, and he uses these words, who will sincerely care for you like Timothy. Timothy didn't look to his own interests, but he cared about other people. So Paul poured out his life. Timothy sincerely cared. And then you talked about in verse 25, this guy Epaphroditus. He said, I considered it necessary to send Epaphroditus. He was the man who had brought to him, Paul, in Rome, a care package from the Philippians. Now, I want you to know that people back in those days who were in prison did not get three hots in a cot. They were not, the government was not taking care of them. If you got locked up in prison, you ain't get no food. You ain't get no water. People had to bring you stuff to keep you alive. And Paul said there's this guy, his name is Epaphroditus, who risked a lot because he traveled from a long way to come and make sure that I had food. He said, now that's a servant. He almost died on the journey, but he came to make sure that I was taken care of. And in verse 29, Paul says, hold such men like this in esteem because for the work of Christ, he came close to death. He was a soldier servant. Paul said he considered him a soldier because he was out there understanding the cost of his life. He could have died bringing Paul food. So you got Jesus who serves, and you've got you and I who are supposed to serve. You've got Paul who are saying, look, I'm pouring myself out as a servant. You've got Timothy who's caring for other people who's a servant. And you got this dude Epaphroditus who he calls a soldier servant. In chapter 2, you got all these different examples about what it looks like to have the mind of a servant who's excellent. So let me talk about Jesus first, because this is important. Now, I know this is a little more doctrinal, so some of y'all are like, get to the point that applies to me. Here we go. You ready? Here we go. Let's talk about Jesus. That's the beginning place. Not only because he's such a masterful model, but because it is his life in us that makes possible for me to become the servant that God wants me to be. In other words, the call to servanthood is not God saying, get yourself all wound up tight and do the best you can. You know what it is? It's let this mind be in you. The problem is we keep trying to serve on our own without getting the mind of Christ in us. Because if you get the mind of Christ in you, it'll be easier to serve. Some of us are forcing us to serve, ourselves to serve, and that's good because you want to serve. But the problem is you're serving and you still got an old mind. So it's hard to serve when you complain. It's hard to serve when you don't like people. It's hard to serve when you're sick and tired of being sick and tired and you don't even want to be out there no more. And we show up and we do that. Nobody in this church, I ain't talking about nobody, but we show up and we got an attitude And we mad because we don't have the mind of Christ when we show up to serve. Jesus had a unique mind when it came to serving. Christ came to dwell inside of us, to change our mindset so that our mind is no longer dominated by worldly thoughts, but by his thoughts. And what he's saying is if you will get my mind in you and allow my power to work through you, then you'll really learn how to serve like all those people in this passage. God, all his power to work in you. Watch this, watch this, watch this. Can you put up on the screen for me verse 5 and 6? Because I want you to see what I'm talking about really clearly. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Verse 6. Who being in the very form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. Jesus thought it's not robbery to be equal with God. What does that mean? You know what robbing mean, right? Some of y'all don't know what it mean to rob nobody or to get robbed because y'all live in nice neighborhoods. My brother went off to college in Atlanta. And is my mom's oldest and firstborn child. So you know how moms are. Child going to school. He gets down there, and she hated the dorm he was in. So she put him up in a nice apartment. Two-bedroom apartment at that, because she couldn't find a one-bedroom. Put him right next to the train. My mom thought my baby's going to be safe. My mom comes back home to St. Louis, 10-hour drive away. About 3 weeks into school, my brother calls and says, Mom, I got mugged. Do y'all know what being mugged means? Okay. He said, I was riding on the train on the way to school, and this guy pulled out a gun, and he asked me to give him my money. He robbed me. My mom, being the wonderful mom that she is, said, huh, all right. And that was that. And I thought, this is strange. The next morning, my mom got up, went to the car dealership, and bought my brother a brand new Ford Mustang because she said, my baby can't be down there getting robbed. Drove 10 hours in the brand new Mustang, surprised him with a brand new car because she said, my baby can't be robbed. See, when you get robbed, something gets taken from you. And it is not just the item that's taken from you. It's the sense of security. It's the sense of self. It's the sense of value and worth. It's the sense of protection that you're going to be okay. And Jesus, watch this, was Almighty God. He had everything. And he said, I'm giving up everything to become human. And he said, I'm not considering that being robbed. I don't see that you've taken, he did it for us, and yet he's saying, I don't see it as you've snatched anything from me. I got to make this clear to you because this is how you're going to understand the mindset of excellence. Because God is not human. We need to get this. He became human in the person of Jesus Christ. And the reason he did that is so that we could understand what he was like. He is so not like us. The only way he could interpret himself to us so that we could understand him was to become man like us. So that we could have some concept of what God really was. He is transcendent. He's almighty. He's all-knowing. He's all-powerful. I can go on and on and on. But the point is, we live in a culture that has so messed our minds up with a shallow view of who God is that when we talk about God being the incarnate God, God becoming flesh, for the average person, we say, so what? Maybe that's a myth, like, you know, Marvel Universe. Like Thor is God and man. That's how we think of God. Like some Greek mythology or something. I cannot come up. I've tried to come up with an illustration, but I cannot come up with anything that can properly describe to you what it means for Almighty God, who is all-powerful and all-knowing, to restrict himself so much that he became human. The closest thing I could come to was Superman. Does anybody remember when Superman chose to give up his powers and he came to Earth? And he went somewhere, I don't remember where it was, but he left his powers behind him. And when he did, somebody beat him up. Can you imagine what it's like to be Superman, knowing you have the power to knock everybody out, but you still getting beat up because you have voluntarily chosen to leave your powers behind? See, this is what the mind of excellence looks like. It is this idea that when people are walking all over me, watch this. It's not that I'm saying you can't stand up for yourself. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is, what would Jesus do? How does Jesus want us to respond? You're going to have to voluntarily put some of your attitude to the side. Yes, I could cuss you out because I'm real good at that. Yes, I can make you feel bad because I'm excellent at that. Yes, I can make you cry if I wanted to. But you know what? I'm going to leave that behind because I got the mind of Christ in me. And I'm going to be excellent, which means I'm going to serve you right now by not cussing your tail out. That's hard. That's the mind of Christ. If you take the chasm between man and, say, dogs and cats, take the chasm or the distance between man and insects, how completely different we are. Take the distance between these microscopic creatures like amoebas, single-cell organisms, and the like, and see the difference between how much more advanced and how much more powerful we as humans are than all of those creatures. Let me tell you something. You would not even approach the distance that exists between God and us. And when we talk about the distance between God and man, we're talking about the difference between creation and creator. Big difference. And yet, the Bible says he didn't consider it robbery to give that up for you and I. He gave up his dignity. He gave up his glory. He gave up his splendor for us. What are you willing to give up for somebody else? That's the mind of Christ. Put this passage back up because I just want to say this. God could have done this any other way. Watch this. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ. Verse 6, who being in the form of God didn't consider it robbery. Verse 7, he made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. Verse 8, watch this. Humbled himself and became obedient even to the point of death. Jesus said, I could call thousands of angels to come and get me out of this, but I won't. There's some situations that you could call and God and other people will probably get you out, but you know what? You're not supposed to. You're supposed to stay right where you're at. Because that's the mind of Christ. That's the mind of excellence. Do you not know God could have sent an angel to save us? But he didn't. God could have said, look here, come up on the highest mountain on earth, Mount Everest. If you can climb Mount Everest, I will have my glory up there. I'll meet with you. But he didn't. He took possibly the hardest road out there, which was giving up all supreme power to come down in his likeness like you and I. Why? Because he loves us. Because he wants us to know him. So when you think about that God gave him a name that's above every name, can you see why Jesus' name is so exalted? Look at what he did for us. Look at all that he did for us. So what does this really mean for you and I? What does this really mean? Verse 13. If you're going to get the mind of Christ, the mind of excellence, you're going to have to submit yourself to the God who gave everything up for you, to trust that God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure will bring it to pass in you. The power is in Christ. It's not in you. My life in you, God said, means you're available to be a servant. So do all things without mumbling, without grumbling and complaining. Don't be taken over by anger that exists in the world. Don't be distressed by what's happening around you. I know it's easy to look at all this stuff and get upset, but I hear the Lord saying, stop. Watch this. Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to the thoughts, the patterns, the things of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do I do that? Lord, I don't want to grumble and complain about all these things. I want to be blameless in a crooked generation. I want to hold fast to your word. See, that's how you get the mind of Christ. Philippians 2:14-6 is where you've got to spend some time if you're going to understand the mind of Christ, that I have to do things without grumbling and complaining. And then God will work in me and he'll help me to live that out. I'm done. I don't really have much to say except stop complaining. The point of my whole message today is if you start thinking about complaining, think about all that Jesus gave up for you. Think about how hard it was for him to give up his omnipotence, that means all power, his omniscience, that means he's all-knowing, his omnipresence to be everywhere, to come down in human form so that we can get to know God better. And you think about what you got to give up when you're struggling and you want to complain about something. How you going to get the mind of Christ? How you going to walk in excellence? Stop grumbling and complaining. Did I make a connection for you as to why grumbling and complaining is so bad? All right, stand to your feet. I just felt like that was so important. I want you to stop and ask yourself this question. We're going to ask the Holy Spirit, say, Lord, what have I been complaining about recently? I'll just give you a second and let the Lord speak to you. Are you getting anything? You ain't got to tell me. Just if you're getting something, just lift your hands. Oh, good. This message worked. It was for somebody. Watch this. Okay, keep your hands lifted. I want you to repeat after me. Say, Father, forgive me for complaining. Lord, I realize now that that is not the mind of excellence, of service, or of Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, transform my mind and help me to stop complaining about this thing. Give me the mind of Christ. Help me to remember what Jesus gave up and how he didn't complain, but did it for us because he loved us. Help me to serve whoever in this situation I need to serve by not grumbling, by not complaining, by not arguing, but being a light in this dark generation.
You have been listening to Pastor Shayna Hurd, Senior Pastor of Rohi Christian Church, a multi-ethnic, economically diverse, spirit-led congregation located in San Jose, California. For audio teaching downloads by Pastor Shayna, service times and directions, or to become a Rohi partner, go to www.rohichurch.org or write to Rohi Christian Church, 474 Piercy Road, San Jose, California, 95138.